saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I'm visiting with Selina Zito of the Washington Examiner. It's selinazito.com for all of Selina's short stories, her short profiles of Americana. What is it, Selina? You say sit a spell and talk, sit a spell and do news?
Yes.
Yeah, sit a spell. All right. Selina asked me to sit a spell, and I'm sitting here to comment on Selina's interview with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, who very much galvanized the Republican Party with his response to the President of the United States' lengthy address just some weeks past. Senator Scott, however, has a much bigger story than a few minutes before a television set. This is an African-American senator, a Republican African-American senator, who has visions for his own state and for the United States. What is his dream now, Selina, that he has lived a dream so far? What's the next chapter?
You know, Senator Tim Scott is a very aspirational general. I always want to call him a young man, but I actually think we're the same age. So maybe I think of myself as young. But Senator Scott is truly a story of aspiration, not even talking about politics. And so I think that what he evokes is a story about himself that clashes what people expect him to be. Because he grew up poor, because he grew up in a shack, because he's black, he should be these certain things. He should be a Democrat. He should be dependent on the government, or he should idolize the government. He should be working in things outside of conservative values. And yet he punches back, not by, you know, strong words and or strong behavior, but by what he does with his life and how he tries to make things better, one sort of person at a time. And I think that's the interesting and compelling story about Tim Scott, is that he's a man that does not fit into anyone's mold, Democrat or Republican. He is his own person, and his path forward is a very, it is truly the story of the American dream.
I was struck by this detail. I think I read it correctly, that the home where he grew up no longer exists. The lot is empty. So that tradition of finding a president's home and turning it into a memorial will be a challenge if and when Tim Scott is president of the United States. What does he say about the home that's no longer there, about growing up in Charleston?
Yeah, it was barely a home. It was a shack. And five people lived in it, only two bedrooms. And you know, they lived on the wrong side of poverty. And while because of the circumstances and because of poverty, they moved a lot after that. But that was the most impactful place that he lived, because he lived with his beloved grandfather, someone who he calls an inspiration to him every day. He talks about how he would, his grandfather made a point of reading a newspaper in front of him every morning. It was only until much later that Senator Scott found out that his grandfather was illiterate. He couldn't read, but he was trying to set an example for his grandchildren. And I think that is where his strength and fortitude comes from.
As a Republican senator, he represents a tradition that is, there are so many ironies here, I can't go through them. I haven't got time. We're just dealing with it. But he's aware of the history of South Carolina, perfectly aware. And he's aware that he loves a state that was the first to fracture the Union and lead the terrible Civil War that scarred the nation. He's aware of all this. Does he speak of the Civil War in some fashion, Selina, or is that Is it the future that he's looking to?
He's looking to the future, but the irony is not lost on him that he was born in this town where North Charleston, where the Civil War began. You know, and I think that he is not the kind of politician and or person who spends their time looking in the rearview mirror.
Right.
He is always looking through the windshield. He's always trying to go forward, not to escape something, but to correct things and make things better.
Another man who's looking forward, because he must, is your conversation with Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader of the House Republican Conference. Good heavens, when he looks out, he sees how many different types of Republicans are in front of him. Herding cats is not an adequate metaphor. I don't know how he thinks about all of the Republican factions. Does he plan to keep them together? Does he plan to survive this? What does he make of all these different opinions that are preparing for the 22 primaries?
Well, you see, he's facing what I call normal, and you can't cure normal. In other words, the last three great big wave election cycles in our country have been won by parties that are fractured. Part of that is when a wave election cycle happens, in other words, when one party overwhelms the other party and wins a large majority of the country, that means a coalition is changing. That happened with Newt Gingrich in the Contract with America in 1994, the very fractured Republican Party, and yet they were able to bring in the sort of what I would say is the John Boehners of the world, the Paul Ryans of the world, right? These were fiscal hawks, and that was what was important to voters at that time. Coalitions started to change by 2006. By 2006, Republicans had held that majority for a very long time. Nancy Pelosi was the minority leader of the party, I think, at the time. And that party was extremely fractured. That was the same party that threw out Joe Lieberman out of a primary in Connecticut, and the progressives in the far left were trying to take it over, but they didn't win. The Democrats won, but they won with the moderate candidates and a values messaging. And trust me, there was not a lot of happiness within that conference, despite winning the majority. And you flip over to 2010. John Boehner has, the Republicans had been out of power for 4 years. He's looking to get a majority back. He has traditional members of the conservative movement as already in office. But there's this wave of the Tea Party of people that had never, ever served at all in government.
And you see that happening here in 2022, a wave election. 94, 06, 2010, and 2022. And is Kevin McCarthy ready? Last 15 seconds. Is he ready for this?
Yes, absolutely ready, because I think he understands the people keep focusing on the fracturing. He understands the fracturing helps the energy and helps the win.
Selena Zito, selenazito.com for her stories, especially of hot springs practicing for catastrophe on a sunny day. CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.